on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
Welcome to the Tony Sanchez Show. And we're live at Parkway Tavern. Indeed we are. Programs. It's brought to you by Findlay Toyota, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. All right. We're off to a flying stop, but it's going to get better, right, Tony?
I tell you what, this reflects game day at times, right? You go out there, great late plan, you're like, oh, God, what happened? Here we go. Got to regroup.
That's right.
We're going to regroup.
Out of practice today. Guys look pretty spirited, ready to go.
They did. They're doing a really good job. I mean, it's been a good 2 weeks of prep, and I'm excited to watch the guys play on Saturday. You know, we're playing against a good Wyoming football team. With our guys, like I said, they're geared up. They're ready to roll. They've had a good couple weeks of watching film and, just kind of growing and reflecting on the beginning of the season. And, we need to go out there and play fast, play explosive, make some, big plays in the passing game and continue to improve on defense. And, if we do that, I think we had a great shot of coming away with the W.
Caleb Herring with us also, and we were talking earlier about the show coming up. And we have chats with three Rebels for today's show. We have a chat with Armani Rogers, Javen White, who sat down with me a couple of days ago during the right after the coach's press conference at the Lead Athletic Center. And then at practice today, he caught up with Charles Williams, who is the number two rusher in the nation now.
Yeah, he's a pretty special guy. He's a hard worker, phenomenal student, good leader. The thing you love, if you come to our practices, you will not see a guy work harder than him in a practice. And that's so great to see when you have a guy who's having the success that he is and the young guys are looking who to emulate. And that guy's one of the hardest workers, if not the hardest worker in the whole program. It just sets the tone for everybody.
So, Caleb, let's discuss that because when I was at practice today, that's one of the first questions I asked Charles. We'll talk to him in the second half of the show. But he was one of the last guys off the practice field today.
Right.
And I asked him about his work ethic and where it came from. And he mentioned that it was his dad. And he really seems to take pride in that part of his role, leading by example.
Absolutely. I think one thing in sports and I guess in life in general, you can always look back at effort being the one thing that you can control. I think whatever you do, if you do it 100%, that's the one thing you can control. The results may vary at times, but I think Charles is one of the examples of making sure his effort is always at 100%. I know watching some of the fall practices that I was able to get out to, during stretches, this guy is dripping sweat. Like, he's going full speed every time I watch him and finishing drills. I know coaches always preach it when a running back has the ball or a receiver has the ball, finish through the end zone. Every score or every play, you should finish as a score in practice, and he's one of the guys that live by that. It's leading by example, and like Coach said, some of the younger guys watching him, he's one of the guys right now, number two rusher in the nation. Like, if anybody has a right to coast or to mail it in or to act special, it's him. But the fact that he's not, that sets a tone for a program. And that you need guys like that that set those tones and establish that effort, that ethic of always wanting to be better and always do better and give your all. That's what you need. And Charles Williams is one of those guys.
One of the things we talked about, we'll get into this with Charles in the second half of the show, but Coach, he was talking, this Charles Williams was talking about what it was like for him and how difficult it was to be on the sideline injured. And watching the team play in the past and watching Lexington take off and have the great success that he had. And some of the things that he learned with that. And that's never easy for any player to have to sit and watch when you know that you've got those competitive juices are just eating away at you.
Well, it's real easy for a guy to become bitter. It's real easy for a guy to start pointing fingers. It's real easy for a guy to kind of become discontent and become a cancer to the program, a cancer to the team. It happens all over the place. You hear about it, see it all the time. Heck, you read about stuff just this week that just kind of makes you scratch your head and go, wow, it's really about me. It's not about the team, and Chuck's always made it about the team. And, he had a great freshman year, gets a start going into year two, breaks his foot, so he's out that year. That's frustrating. But then when he comes back, you now have a senior Lexington Thomas and a senior Xavier Campbell, and you got a senior Evan Owens, and they all played really, really well last year. So it got real, it could be really frustrating to a young man like that. And I think he channeled it in the right way. He just channeled it into his work ethic, to the weight room, to just doing things the right way. And, he's never been anything but just a pleasure to coach and a great guy in the locker room. And the team really loves him. And I think that's a big reason for his success. Had he handled it differently, has his attitude not been right, then it would have reflected in the effort that he gave. And you wouldn't see the guy that you're seeing on the football field now. And he's still got a lot of football left to play for the Rebels.
So based on what I see from him, like, he doesn't seem like one of the guys that would need this, but was there ever a point during that time as a coach realizing that, losing your job to injury essentially and then watching the guy come in and do so great at your spot, kind of feeling left out, was there ever a moment where you had to pull him to the side and say, hey, you'll be all right, you got plenty of time, you can come back?
There was times last year where you could see that he's frustrated, he wanted the ball more, he wanted an opportunity, and it's hard, you get into games and there's only so many touches, that are going around. And with the kind of year the Lexington had, I mean, it was unbelievable, right? Second leading rusher in the history of the school and broke the school record in touchdowns. I mean, so he's not like just some guy that started for us. I mean, he's the all-time leading touchdown scorer, right?
Right.
There were times where, yeah, I got frustrated. But the thing about it, there were times where, Coach Burkett, myself, just had to say, your time's going to come, just hang tight, you'll do well. And he had some good games last year, but... for him not to get frustrated to a point that it affected him, emotionally, that's pretty outstanding. In this day and age, it doesn't happen. People throw their arms up, they quit, they transfer, they go somewhere else, they say, I'm getting screwed and all that stuff. And he never did that, man. It's a testament to him, and he's the kind of guy you love to coach.
We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the upcoming Wyoming game. The game is this Saturday, 5:02 p.m. Pacific time. A rare night game in Wyoming for the Rebels. I'm used to accustomed to playing the day games out there. But before we get too deep into that, Coach, I want to talk a little bit about some of the injury situations that the Rebels are facing now. Let's start with the junior free safety, Drew Techman, non-contact left knee injury that was yesterday during practice, out for the year, torn lateral collateral ligament.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Drew's a great kid. He's, one of our most athletic and most physical guys. I mean, combined, he's by far the most athletic and physical guy we have in the back end. So it's a big loss, but, that's why you train them all up. Greg Francis came in and did a good job against Northwestern. He's been around for a couple of years, and he'll be ready to go in and take that role on. So good thing is the maturity with the team. You didn't see, a big deflate about it. We all feel bad for Drew. I guess the good thing for the program is it happened after week three, so we can redshirt him.
Right.
So you get him for another 2 years, and the way guys recover from injuries now, it's like they never had him. So he's going to be okay. It's going to take about 4 to 6 months for him to get back going. But, yeah, it thins us out because, we already had one injury, in the back end earlier. So we have two safeties down now. So we just got to make do with it.
Really a tough 10 days for the young man because he's coming off the game at Northwestern where he had arguably a phantom targeting call. And now this.
Yeah,
it's a tough day at the office.
It is. He was, really upset about having to leave that game. And, we were upset for him. We just felt like, I don't know. I didn't think that it deserved the call the way that it went down. But it is what it is. And, he was excited about getting back. Had a really good bye week. We had a good practice. And then you have a non-contact injury like that. That's probably the most frustrating thing when you're sitting there just applying your trade and doing your thing. And all of a sudden, all that power and strength you have. And, all of a sudden, the knee torques in a different direction. And, things happen. They're unfortunate, but he'll be all right, and we'll be all right.
Surgery next week for him?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So just for the fans not familiar, Tony touched on the redshirt situation. NCAA redshirt rule that went into effect last season will actually benefit Drew Techman in this case because he played 3 games, so he's allowed to play up to 4 without losing a year of eligibility. He'll be able to redshirt and have 2 seasons left. That's good for him.
It is good. It's really good. Anytime, you'd like to redshirt everybody, but it's just not the reality, of the situation. So getting him, again, the injury, it's unfortunate. Yeah, it definitely hurts us, but we'll overcome it. But having him for 2 more years, playing for the Rebels is a big, big deal because he's a big-time guy.
You touched on it a little bit, just the team's reaction to it. I know football is a contact sport, it's a violent sport. Whether or not you're actually hitting somebody, it takes a lot to be a part of the sport. And based on the time you've been here and the guys that have been in the locker room, the players in the locker room, they've seen injuries.
Yeah.
So that response and reaction was helped by that, I'm assuming, because they've seen these injuries, they've been around it before.
We've had so many of them over the years, really critical ones, you know. So I think it's one of those deals you get a little hardened about it, you know. Again, your heart always goes out to the individual person, but you get to a point where it's like, hey, man, we're moving in this direction, and you got a fallen guy. Hey, make sure he's taken care of, but let's keep moving on, you know. And you're not moving on without him. Again, he'll be back in the fold. So it's not about that person, but it's about the mentality and the mindset when you are dealing with injuries, you're dealing with adversity. Can't worry about all that other peripheral stuff, because all it does is none of that helps you. You know what I'm saying? It's just baggage you carry that weighs you down. So just keep moving on. Next guy, man, next man in mentality.
And of course, you touched on Greg Francis, a junior.
Yep.
Bishop Gorman, you know him very well. So explain to the fans what they can expect out of Greg Francis. What kind of a player is he?
He's long and rangy, you know, just under 6'2", about 190 pounds, you know, runs well, good ball skills. You know, he was a guy that played receiver and DB in high school. Again, you know, had a lot of success in high school, and, you know, we were fortunate to get him in a tough recruiting battle. And you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, he's been playing right behind, you know, Drew, and kind of nipping at the heels a little bit, and Drew's just a little further ahead. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, you train these guys up, you see how they work, and they're all dying for opportunity. So the whole thing is, you better make sure you've done what you needed to do, so when that opportunity comes, you're ready to go. I mean, we all know the Wally Pipp story, right? So,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you're Lou Gehrig, just make sure you keep working, 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 and you get your opportunity. Don't ever come out.
Indeed. And speaking of opportunity, at least possible opportunity, Max coming back from the foot injury. What's the update on him?
So he's out there practicing again with us now. He's not fully cleared, but you know, he's got kind of like a lineman shoe on, the bigger, more comfortable shoe right now. But he's out there, you know, he's throwing the ball, he's throwing routes, he's doing all his individual stuff, and he looks good. You know, there's a little discomfort, nothing that'll set him back, but I'd say he's probably a week or two away from being fully cleared.
How good is it to have him back on the field? I know, you know, Kenyon is, you know, filling his role as the backup right now, but having him back, you know, veteran kind of older guy back in the quarterback room.
Well, the guys respond to him. They really like him. He's charismatic. You know, he's a real popular guy on the team. Obviously, he went in, started, you know, played the whole game against San Diego State and got that big win. So, got a lot of street credit with the boys last year. So, having him back and just having him out there and working, and you know, the good thing about him is the time that he was out, he basically became a coach. I mean, he, you know, did all the signaling from the sidelines, in the meeting rooms. He's helping guys out, he's helped Kenyon out so much. He's a selfless guy, knowing that he's going to have to come back in and compete with him and Armani. So it's good to have him back out there. The more guys you have pushing each other and doing it in the right way, the better you get.
This is the conference opener for the Rebels.
Yep.
So overall, Coach, just a general overview of how the squad looks coming off the bye week and entering conference play.
Well, it looks good. I mean, I think it was really, really important for us to rebound after that week two performance. You know, week one was great against a lesser opponent, and we did what we were supposed to do. Week two, just, you know, again, I think it was more offensively and defensively, but we could have played better defensively. But we really were flat, did not throw the ball well, didn't move the ball consistently down the field, and we had to get over that. And we did with Northwestern. We did a good job of, I mean, we came out of the gates, went right down on offense and scored, got the ball back, got right down the field to the 19, had the unfortunate a turnover, then got the ball in the third possession and went down and scored. Those are three possessions right in a row that you have an opportunity to put points on the board. So we didn't, obviously, with the turnover, but that was really good to see us start that way. So I think it got some of that bad taste out of our mouth. You know, didn't like the result, but that was good to have going into the bye week. You know, just going out there knowing that, hey, we got to get better at some of the little things, ball security, get some guys back. Biagio, Ollie Walsh, he's traveling with us now, and he's back playing. Darren Williams is healthier. He had a little bit of a hamstring deal last game. He's up and ready to go again. Eric Brown, the left tackle, you know, young kid from Green Valley, he's ready to go now. So we got some bodies back, which is good going down the stretch.
Courtney Reese
is back also too, absolutely.
All right. Very good. Well, we're going to take our first break here on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Parkway Tavern, and the show presented in part by Findlay Toyota. And after this break, we've got a conversation with Rebel quarterback Armani Rogers and also Javen White, and that's coming up right after these words. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield and IMG. Rogers joining us on this edition of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Javen, let's start with you. First of all, what are some of the things that the defense did better in the Northwestern game in your mind?
I think we did a better job of like limiting the explosive plays and probably being able to be a more sound tackling team. I feel like in the first half we were kind of being a little nervous and anxious and weren't really attacking the runners. In the second half, I felt like we did a great job of attacking and meeting them at the point.
Okay. What about some of the things that you think the defense could have done better or should do better moving forward?
I feel the biggest thing that we need to stop the bleeding when it's bleeding going on. When the offense is struggling, we need to be at that point where, you know, if the offense is struggling, that we don't have time to make the bleeding get even worse. We have to stop it, you know, and let the offense know, like, we got your back.
Okay. Armani, what about you? The offense obviously did much better in the first half of that game than it did throughout Arkansas State. Evaluate that for us.
Most definitely. I feel like we just went out there and we were very explosive throughout the first few quarters. Chuck did a great job out there making some great runs on second down and just being able to get out there and just get an open field and make a touchdown and get a touchdown for us.
Okay. To discuss, if you would, the importance, Armani, of getting decent yardage on first down. This is something that gets talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. The importance on getting yards on first down, you're not putting in a bad situation on second and third down. You have more yards to fight for. So if you try to get at least half the distance on first down, now you're in a better situation than being second and 10 or third and 10. So just try to stay ahead of the chains before it gets too late.
Okay. Let's discuss now the some of the things coming up against Wyoming. Javen, let's start with you. As you look at that team, the Cowboys, on film, what are some of the things you notice?
Explosive plays. The quarterback does a great job of having explosive plays. The running backs do a great job of staying behind the blocks and being very, like, sneaky and bouncing it right straight into the secondary. I feel like they do a great job of controlling the clock, too. That's one big thing I think they've understood, that once they control the clock, they can control the game. And they've done a great job controlling the clock.
Okay, Armani, how about you? When you look at that team, what are some of the things you anticipate for that game?
Well, right now they're almost leading the country in sacks right now. So just know that the D-line is going to go out there and get after us, and they're going to try to send – they like to blitz a lot, man coverage, and just have to win on the outside.
All right. Now, for you, Armani, your rushing game is something that is known probably, I would say, nationally. But as far as your passing, where are you? Where are you in that process in terms of gaining confidence and moving forward?
Definitely just getting on the right page with the receivers, getting back to the connection we have from the first game, just going out there, just believing each other, we have to make plays for each other. If the ball is short, they got to make plays. I got to put the ball on where the ball can be caught at, and we just have to go out there and make plays.
Now, this is for both of you, having to do with the off week. Some pros and cons of having a week off.
Like Javen said earlier, being able to catch up on some film, rest your body up a little, and some cons are just not being able to play and having to get back into the rhythm of things.
And Javen, how about you?
Like Armani said, you know, I feel like the biggest thing is probably the film. You know, you get to actually have another week of learning your opponent, especially with a high-power offense as Wyoming. You know, they don't run a lot of stuff, but they run it to an effect that, you know, they win a lot of games off it. And I think the cons is, you know, I like playing football, so at the end of the day of Saturdays, you know, you usually get a reward of playing a game. On bye week, you usually watch a whole day of football, and then you don't have a game at the end of the day.
So it's sort of like an empty snack.
Yeah, it's like an empty snack, like basically a meal but no dessert.
Javen White and Armani Rogers joining us on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Fellas, for both of you, I'd like you to talk about just for a moment the importance of spending time together off the field and the camaraderie that can build. And the second part of that is, how does that bonding manifest itself when it's game time?
I think the bonding outside the field makes sure that everybody understands, you know, like, I care for you really and truly outside. You know, I've been spending a lot of time with Armani this past summer, this whole year. So, you know, me and him have developed a different relationship, especially him being on offense and me being on defense. So I know how important it is for, you know, for me to do my job. And when I do my job, I get him the ball back, and I know how good he is when he has the ball in his hand.
Armani?
Same thing, just knowing, like, you're fighting for one another. Like, everybody has different goals and aspirations in life, and your teammate can help you achieve your next goal in life, and you can help them achieve their next goal in life, whether it's go to the NFL or be somebody that they can just piggyback when they need somebody to talk to. So when you know you have that bond, you can go out there and fight for each other, and it's like you're going to put your life on the line for your brother at the end of the day.
Speaking of the NFL, your dad obviously is a well-chronicled career. What are some of the ways that he's aided you in your career?
Just been there for me my whole life, just being able to watch him play in the NFL, and just whenever I need somebody to talk to about what I'm struggling with, he's always there to help me. He's going over defense with me 24/7, and he's been my right-hand man throughout this whole process.
Buffalo Bills are 3-0. Any Bills fans in your family?
I'm a Bills fan myself, just because I was born out there, and that's some of the first games I've witnessed in my own eyes.
All right, Bills Patriots this weekend.
We already know how that game goes, but I'm going with the Mafia as always.
Okay, Javen, you have roots in the Bay Area. What about Raiders, 49ers? Growing up,
I was neither. You know, my mom actually hates the Raiders, but it's like one of those hate love relationships because they're so out there, especially in the Bay. You know, it's either a Raider or a 49er fan. So I haven't really like chosen either one. I love football, so I just love watching NFL, college, high school. It doesn't matter.
And finally, to Armani's point about how his dad has really helped him a lot, who has been there for you the most, Javen, whether it's a family member, a fellow player, a coach, somewhere along the line?
Probably, honestly, it's been a whole bunch of guys. I really think it's been the coaching staff, you know, especially Coach Skip, Coach Brown, and Coach Sanchez, and also, like, my brother back home and my high school coach. So I get a lot of calls from everybody, and they all give me their own point of view of, like, what I can do better, what I did good on. And I just think it's a whole bunch. It takes a village to raise a person. So I think it's like, really, one thing I've actually learned was, like, probably being more able to critique myself. And when other people tell me something, I've already known it because I've already critiqued it myself. So I think that's the biggest thing I've learned.
Javen, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you.
Armani, thank you.
Thank you.
Armani Rogers and Javen White joining us on this segment of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Back with a whole lot more. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG.
Indeed it is. And RID.com is giving away $10,000 to one lucky fan if the Rebels score safety during this season. Make sure to go to UNLVRebels.com/RID to register for your chance to win. And the show is brought to you in part by Findlay Toyota for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales reps. Come to Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Rebels traveling to Wyoming. Wyoming is 3-1. This is the first time they've gone there since 2015, and a rare night date in Laramie. Rebels are 13-24 in conference openers all time. And so that's one thing to look forward to this Saturday, the 5:02 p.m. kickoff time at War Memorial Stadium up there in Wyoming. And, of course, some of the notes surrounding the game. The fellow we just chatted with, the junior quarterback Armani Rogers, needs only 12 net yards to move past Wyoming's Brett Smith from 2011 to 2013 into 10th place in conference history for rushing yards by a quarterback. And then after having never scored more than one touchdown in a collegiate game, Mr. Charles Williams, with whom we're going to speak in the second half of the show, is averaging 2 per outing right now after finding the end zone 3 times in the season opener and then having 1 against Arkansas State, another 2 at Northwestern. After 3 games, Mr. Charles Williams, the number 2 rusher in the nation, 151.7 yards per game, including a career-high 168 against Arkansas State in Week 2. And that's the one common thread, Tony, I'd say, in all 3 games. Charles Williams just running like a madman.
Well, the great thing is when you look, and he's averaging 150-some-odd yards a game and as high as 163. I mean, it's just, he hasn't had that, like, 200-yard game and then a 100-yard game. He's been consistently right there, you know. And you saw it, you know, you saw it against Arkansas State. You saw it again against Northwestern. He's got breakaway speed. You know, he's a big guy. He can get you the hard yards. But if he gets to the edge, there's very few people in the country that will catch him. I mean, he can go. He can flat out fly. So,
and to what degree is his strength kind of disarming? You don't necessarily, guy that size, a little bit surprising.
Yeah, you know, you see him take his shirt off, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, okay, he's pretty jacked up, you know. So, I mean, he's well-built. I mean, he's every bit of 195 pounds, you know, so he carries some girth with him, and he's explosive.
All right, he's already doubled his career 100-yard game total with 6, which is tied for 14th most in Rebel history. Now, the Rebels didn't play Wyoming last year, in the last 2 seasons, because of the 2-year rotation within the Mountain Division. So the one thing about this matchup, this has been one of the most incredibly competitive rivalries
these two teams.
Yeah.
And Wyoming's 12-11. It is so close. And that last game, that amazing triple overtime game in 2016, 69-66.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. I mean, oh, man, it just tore you up. I mean, we played such a good game the whole way through, and all of a sudden they get the ball at, like, their own two-yard line with a minute and something. They drive the field, and then, you know, Josh Allen, you know, he scrambles with the right and throws us a dime on the last play of the game to send it into overtime. And then you get into overtime, and, you know, we end up, you know, making this, you know, long field goal, and it's a backup snapper snapping to the backup holder, and the backup kicker kicks. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. So that was a big win. And the game before, it was a seven-point game when we went up there.
Right.
So, you know, the two times that we've played them since I've been here, man, they've been, you know, again, a triple overtime game and a seven-point game, and really competitive.
Rebels are 4-7 all-time in Laramie, but when you take a look at all the different factors going into the game, personnel and everything, Rebels have a reason for optimism going in.
Yeah, we got reason for optimism in every game. I mean, we're more than capable of winning a whole bunch of games. I don't think there's any roster that's daunting that we play the rest of the year. There haven't been one yet. We played one really bad game, and we got to make sure we alleviate those things. You know, we're a better football team, more mature. Those things can't, you know, continue to happen. You know, we just got to go out and be more consistent. But there's nothing really daunting. Everybody's dealing with injuries. I mean, Brandon Presley's out for the year. Drew Teckman's out for the year. Everybody's dealing with injuries, and they're dealing with them too. And they've played four tough games, and the last three really were, you know, well, all four games actually were games that, like, went down to the fourth quarter wire, you know. And the last two games they've played, literally, Idaho had the ball on the one-yard line going in, you know, last possession, a chance to win it, and then, you know, they end up fumbling the ball going in, you know, to win it. So they've been in some dogfights, and I think when, you know, the more fights you're in like that, the more snaps you have, you know, the more physical it is. It takes a toll on you. So, you know, hopefully it's the right time, but I tell you what, they're at home. They're 3-1. They're a proud program. You know, they got a whiteout. You know, like I said, national TV. They're going to be ready to go.
So talk. You've been there once before.
Yep.
That last time, the elements were a little bit different.
This totally.
Early,
different.
Earlier yeah. in the season Freeze, this yeah. time, a little bit different this time around.
Well, you went. I think you got a fur coat on. No, that wasn't you. That was Pritch.
That was Pritch.
Pritch was there. There was snow on
I've heard stories
yeah,
about
he,
the fur
he
coat.
He walked
though.
Out. I was like, oh, you got a fur coat. It must be cold. No, it was -2 when we got off the plane. I mean, that was cold, you know, and it was sunny the next day, but, you know, we played at probably about 18 to 20 degrees the entire time, and, you know, the shade came over. I mean, it was really cold, you know. It won't be bad. I mean, I believe it'll probably drop down to the 50. Starts about 65, probably drop down to 50, not too bad. I think showers a little bit earlier in the day, maybe at the beginning of the game. That'll be interesting to see how, you know, how that happens. But I've never really been big into that. Elevation, weather, at the end of the day, both teams are facing the exact same situation. It's about mental toughness at that point. Sometimes you have to deal with it, you know, more than others. I mean, I think playing Wyoming later in the season, they definitely have a big home field advantage because a lot of teams just aren't used to playing in 20-degree weather and things like that. So, but that's not the case now. It's early enough in the year, and it'll be nice. It's a beautiful place, too.
One of the guys that we chatted with just a little while ago was Javen White.
Yeah.
And let's get into a little bit about Javen White and what makes him tick.
He's a great kid. I mean, all the NFL scouts come in, and he's one of the main guys they want to talk about. He's long range. He came in here as a safety. He moved into the box, but he has the ability to do both. Great special teams guy. He's a high energy guy. But if you've ever been to a practice, you've heard Javen because he's the loudest guy out there
today.
Every single time. Yeah. You know, and he's one of those guys, when he first got here, he was really loud and didn't really understand how to channel it. Sometimes it wasn't always a positive thing, you know. And as he's gotten older and had experience, and, you know, just it's like living life. You know, you're going to wear it better the longer you live it. And he's really become a dynamic leader. You know, he's a team captain. He takes care of the younger guys, pushes the older guys. And he's like Chuck, where he leads by example. He never takes a play off. And the thing I love about him is he loves football. He loves lifting weights. He loves running. He loves, I mean, all the things that sometimes people go, I just want to play the game.
You could see it. You
could
see it,
man,
in the way he approaches it.
I love it. I mean, love the heck out of him. You know, McClymonds High School, you know where he came from. And he was one of those guys. And, you know, we had 21 days to go recruit. And, you know, he's one of those guys we found at the end. And, you know, it's taken a while to develop his body, to get the weight on and things like that. But I think he's a guy who's going to have a hell of a year for us. You know, he got the big pick last year, but you know, to seal the win, get the cannon back.
Yep.
He's going to have a great year for us. And he's got a great opportunity to go on and play for a lot longer after playing for UNLV.
So one of the things he said in the interview with Russ that stuck out to me was he took ownership of his own mistakes and critiquing himself so that when somebody else from the outside does it, it's too late. I already know. And it, as cheesy as this is, it reminded me of an Eminem verse. And in the recent song, he says, "I'm harder on myself than you can ever be regardless." And that's kind of the one of the attitudes that I would impart on any young players, that no matter what critics say, if you can drown them out and be as critical on yourself as anybody else could ever be, that's how you make improvements. That's how you make gains, and that's what Javen's been doing so far. It's really great to see.
And we've had a lot of conversation. I mean, he was a guy early in his career that, you know, you got on him in a film room, and, you know, he'd turn around, he'd want to, you know, argue back or fight back about it. And as he's gotten older, he's matured, and he's realized, man, this is, you know, critiques are what make you grow, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's okay with it. And he's like, yes, you're right, coach. And he'll engage in that conversation, and it's a good thing. Well, we all learn it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you know, you're going to always, if you're a true competitor, you're always going to critique yourself more than anybody else. No one's going to have a bigger care factor than you because you're the one living it, you know. And guys like Javen embody that.
And so Javen obviously embodied it. You talk about the big pick he had against Reno last year. Got the first interception this season, and we got to see him donning something on the sideline.
Yep.
The great, the now infamous Chucky doll, which is UNLV's version of the turnover chain. I'm going to say that's how we're going to say it, the UNLV's turnover Chucky. What's the origin story to the Chucky story?
Well, Coach Skip just talked about, you know, the importance in turnovers, and, you know, you got to be violent at the pump point of attack, you know, with the ball, and there's nobody more violent than Chucky. So, you seen those movies? I can't watch those movies, man. I wouldn't want one of those in my house. I'd wake up freaking out, you know. But we got the Chucky doll. We started in camp, and anytime you get a turnover, you get the Chucky doll. So you'll see more and more of those.
So there's multiple Chucky dolls, right?
There's like eight in the facility, man. And I turn the corner, I look, there's one sitting on top of the, you know, cabinet or something. Like, oh, man, makes me want to turn and run the other way.
It's like Prank City, man.
If I ever see one of those things move, man, it's over.
Sarah's got one.
She does, exactly.
All right, we're going to take our next break in the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. We'll take a break and come back with a whole bunch more. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield IMG. And welcome back to the Parkway Tavern. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on, previewing Rebels game this Saturday at 5 o'clock Pacific time at Wyoming. You know, Findlay Chevrolet is your home for...
Woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to...
Woo!
Findlay Chevrolet, located in the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. And what's the over and under on the number of cars they've sold as a result of...
I'm saying they're doing good. Business is booming right now because of this thing we're doing here.
I'm telling you,
I'm just gonna put it out there.
I think that's a better incentive than 0% APR. Personally, this is my own.
There you go.
All right, visiting with Caleb Herring and of course head coach Tony Sanchez and Wyoming. We talked about the Rebel injuries, but Wyoming, of course, they've got their issues also. Head coach Craig Bull was talking about that. They're shorthanded. They were 3-0, lost a tough one at Tulsa, 24-21. Running back Trey Smith out with an ankle injury. They're considering a freshman, Alfonso Andrews Jr., to play possibly in that slot. And that one of their guards, Logan Harris, hospitalized after the Tulsa game. Concussion protocol for him and for cornerback Tyler Hall, who might play. And right tackle and Alonzo Velasquez, MRI on his knee, probably out. So, you know, Coach, when you're preparing for a team like that, I guess there are pluses and minuses. And one of the possible minuses is you're not always sure about who you're going up against because of all of the injuries.
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough to them when I don't think their right tackle or guard will play, so I think that's tough to deal with. But they're getting their starting running back. Trey Smith was a backup to Valade, and he's coming back, so I guess he's been off. So supposedly he's coming back. He'll start this game for them. But they do lose Smith, so they lose depth, and we know how important that is, you know, being down there. You got to play the way they run the ball, they need more than one back there, so they got to find a serviceable number two. And Chambers, our quarterback, you know, he's the kind of guy that makes it go, but if he's the only guy, it makes it tougher on them. So we'll see how Valade is in there. And then they suspect, from what I've been reading, that the corner will play. Hall, we'll see. So it's one of those deals where we're going to be like everybody, you know, we're going to be out there with the clipboard just charting numbers during warm-ups to see who's kind of out there moving around, you know, because some of that stuff makes a difference matchups-wise, right. Things you want to do. You know, you want to look to see if there's a crack, if there's a guy you can attack or anything like that. So I think the biggest thing for them is going to be that guard tackle spot, what they do with it.
So outside of the actual injury report, they're coming off of four straight weeks of close football games.
Yep.
You obviously benefited from the bye in that sense that you got to rest and get away from the game a little bit. You said it earlier. They played games down to the wire. Every one of their first four games were down to the wire. Outside of the actual injury report, do you think fatigue plays a factor? As in that their bodies maybe just wearing down, even if they're not actually injured right now?
Well, you know, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, obviously, this is the first year you have two bye weeks. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of teams. You got to play eight games in a row before you get a bye week in the past. You know, so it was kind of the norm. So everybody's a little different. I mean, some teams go into a bye week and they struggle coming out of the bye week. It's just kind of like that. The week off isn't good for you. You know, and that's why people worry about the early bye weeks. You know, on the flip side, some people rest up, come out, and they play even better. Some team people, I mean, they just seem to just kind of get better and better and better and tougher and tougher and tougher as it goes. Some people wear down at some point during the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. No coach, no program wants any injuries. So they're dealing with some right now. It'll be interesting to see kind of what their energy level is. My gut feeling tells me that early on, you're going to see, you know, you're going to have to weather a storm. They're going to come out. They're going to be lathered up. They're going to be ready to go. Probably going to take some early shots, some things. They're probably going to gamble a little bit and do some, you know, really aggressive things, knowing kind of what they're coming off of. So we got to handle it well, make sure we don't give up any big explosives, and we do a good job of methodically just being physical and engaging them in a fight right away.
Major weapon we already spoke about earlier, Charles Williams. We're going to talk to Charles in just a second here, but first, a word about Parkway Tavern, your new home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, where we are live right now on West Flamingo and the official home of the Rebels on the Road. Come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. And without further ado, here's our conversation with star running back Charles Williams of the UNLV Rebels.
Visiting with UNLV Rebel running back Charles Williams. Charles, you're generally one of the last guys, just like today, off the field for after practice. Mm-hmm. And the word is that that's because you work extremely hard. Where does that work ethic come from in you?
Really, my dad, ever since I was little, ever since I started playing football, you know, he's been on me about working hard. Even if you're not the fastest, strongest, or, you know, smartest, the least you can do is work hard and just bust your butt and keep doing what you're doing and just go out there and give the best effort you can and treat every play like it's your last play.
What else has your dad taught you along the way that's helped you in this game?
Just to, you know, be patient, trust the process, and no matter what, remember who you are, and you can only knock yourself down, and you can only hold yourself to certain limits.
Speaking of patience, you exhibited a lot of that when you were hurt previous years. What did the injury, what did the rehab, what did the frustration of having to sit and watch and not being able to play teach you about yourself?
It taught me how to be a team player, how every play is not going to be like a home run. Like certain plays are going to open up other, you know, plays for other people and like help other people out or help the team out. So just learning how to be a team player, and then also just learning how to just become a man and like take adversity and fight it and not run away from it.
Now, so far, you are one of the very top rushers in the nation going into this game against Wyoming. Why? Why is that true?
First of all, the O-line. Got to thank the coaches and the staff and then just everybody else around on the offense. And then just got to say all the hard work we put in during the summer and then all the extra work I put in during the summer after workouts or back home when I went back home. So all the hard work and just being, you know, diligent about what I want to do and where I want to be at is just showing right now.
Visiting with Charles Williams, Rebel running back, going into this weekend's game at Wyoming. Charles, discuss your background a little bit, how you grew up, and how your passion for football developed.
Well, I really grew up like a single child and everything. So I was really like selfish as a kid. But as I got older, I, you know, gained a sibling, my sister, love her to death. So I started playing football when I was 9. And everything. So when I started playing football, at first I didn't like it, and then the year after I really didn't like it still. And then once I got like that first taste of, like, you know, success, I started like to fall in love with it. And then I realized like I can't live life without football, and it's just, you know, in my DNA to play it. So I just kept coming back, no matter where I was on the depth chart, no matter how good I was playing, how bad I was playing, I always came back, and I just knew like football is like the place to be, and then like this is destined for me.
As you look at film of the Wyoming Cowboys, what are some of the things that stand out that could affect you?
Just a great team, you know, discipline. They work together. there's no like single individual efforts. They all come together as a team. They know what they're doing. They bring a lot of twists and stunts and a lot of pressure. But it's some good players on there too. Logan Wilson, linebacker number 30, he's part of my class. I remember him very well. And I just know Wyoming, last time we played them, you know, we beat them in overtime, so we got to come back. And, you know, they're hungry and we're hungry. And they also got that, the last loss on their belt, and then the loss to us in that triple overtime. So we got to come, you know, even more hungry because they got, you know, a lot of unfinished business with us.
To what degree, Charles, do you enjoy the leadership role, setting an example of hard work and going out and getting the job done?
I really don't like talking about it. I like showing it by actions, because the actions speak louder than my words. And I just know when you talk, you got to back it up. But if you just go out there and do what you're supposed to do, that's all the talk you need to do.
Charles, I appreciate it. Thanks a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Charles Williams of the UNLV backfield, our guest, back with a whole lot more as the Tony Sanchez Show continues. This is the UNLV Sports Network and the Rebel IMG Learfield Network.
You know what? That's almost too smooth. As good as the food is here, that's almost too smooth.
I feel like we should all walk in slow motion with that music. Yeah.
But how come you're not eating, Caleb?
Oh, I'm on a diet. That's a lie. I'm not on a diet.
I just
ate before I came. That was all.
A corrupt media telling another lie here.
Wow.
Tony's just crushing that thing. That's buffalo chicken pizza.
Yeah, I crushed it.
It had no chance.
No chance.
And that quesadilla I had no chance either.
Exactly.
Forget it. DOA. At Findlay Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Findlay Toyota. We're live here at Parkway Tavern. Also, a reminder, how would you like to be able to listen to us while synced up to your TV in the comfort of your own home? Go to syncmygame.com to find out how. Live from Parkway Tavern. Beautiful night, beautiful atmosphere here. You can sit inside, outside, screens all over the place, good food, good service. Folks, the natives are friendly here, no question about that. We're talking about injuries before, and I just want to bounce this off of you, Tony, because word came down today. We talked about Drew Techman and the rough day at the office. And how about Ezekiel Noah, the top tackler in Boise State? He's out for the year. He suffered a torn ACL and a broken wrist in the same play.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you never root for injuries. I mean, you know, a kid like that, you know, he's a big impactful player for them, and having a great year, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Caleb, what was the worst injury you ever had to suffer through in your career?
Fortunately for me, I never broke a bone or tore an ACL, nothing major like that. They call it a sublux shoulder, where it pops out and pops right back in on my throwing arm. That was painful, but I recovered. The worst thing, I actually went to sleep on the field against Boise State when they're number 5 in the nation. Kellen Moore was the quarterback. We hung with them for a couple of quarters, but in the third quarter, I got knocked out, and I remember it only because of what I saw of it, and I was in concussion protocol. That was probably the worst I've been injured. That football got the best of me. But it wasn't, you know, a broken bone or anything like that. I wasn't out for an extended period of time. It was, you know, that concussion protocol week. But I remember that. I remember being out and waking up on the field. And that was probably the worst that I had in my playing days.
When you played as a receiver, Tony, to what degree did you engage in trash talking with the DBs?
A lot.
That laugh said it all. That was like,
yeah,
there was some pretty intense
trash talk going on, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was different, but I you know, it was never like flamboyant. It was always kind of under my breath and things like this. I always try to get under their skin. I remember I went and worked out for the Canadian Football League, and I was working out for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and we were in Louisiana, and we're sitting down and getting dressed, and I got in Mexico State sweatshirt on, and got a kid from Southwest Louisiana. There was two or three DBs, and they said, "Man, you 81, you that trash talking dude?" I said, "Yeah, that's me." So I hung out with them all day.
Yeah, that was a dead giveaway. I haven't seen a smile like that since the Reno game. I knew right away. Right away, dead giveaway. We got one more break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. And after this break, we'll come back and we'll have some remaining moments with head coach Tony Sanchez and also Caleb Herring. Rebels on the road this week for the second consecutive game. Of course, coming off a bye week at Wyoming. And what a rivalry this has been. The teams have played 23 times, almost dead even. Wyoming's won 12 of them. But you never know with these two teams coming right down to the wire. We'll take a break and come back and wrap it up from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on UNLV Sports Network on Learfield IMG. Welcome back. Final segment of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show live from Parkway Tavern. Tony Sanchez here along with Caleb Herring. Yours truly, Russ Langer. We have AJ helping us out here on site. And Caleb, you're talking before about sometimes when you were an active player during practice, you get into a little chirping match with the guys on D. Tell us about that.
You know what? It's always fun with the guys on your team because you know each other so well. And it's like nobody ever goes too far when it's your own teammate. So it's a very safe environment to talk trash. But it was always fun with the defense to kind of, when there's those team periods, to really chirp at each other because you're the biggest competition. Like, you compete against each other. You know each other's playbook inside and out. So it was always fun. I had one of my teammates, Tony Maka. He was a middle linebacker. He used to always be the guy chirping at me. And I was a counterpuncher, if there's a term to it as trash talking. I was a counterpuncher. I would let the other guy engage, but I would just be snappy with the responses. And me and Tony got into some nice little trash talk battles during some of those practices in 2013.
All right. So coming up, the Wyoming game this Saturday, 5 o'clock Pacific time. And, of course, we talked about that epic three-overtime win, the Rebels 69-66, the third highest-scoring game in FBS history. That was in 2016, and the highest in Mountain West history with 135 total points. That's a tough act to follow as far as just pure excitement is concerned. And, amazingly, four of the Rebels' 15 all-time overtime games have come against Wyoming, but all of them took place in Vegas. And, again, most recently that one 3 years ago. So formerly a series of streaks, Rebels won the first three games by a total of 13 points. So we talked about how close it's been,
yeah.
Tony, and no reason to think it won't be close again.
This college football, it's hard to figure out, man. Every week you got to be up, you got to be ready to go. You got to make sure your guys are in the pocket. And you just see by the scores every week, the upsets every week. It's so darn competitive, and you got to get to the guys in between the ears every game. You got to get to them, get them focused up, because anything can happen. So, this is a game that, we need to go out and play well in, and I think it's an important game for us to go get a W in.
How much of the preparation is scheme-based as opposed to anything else?
1 minute. Yeah, it's always scheme-based. Obviously, you've got your plan, and you're looking for the things that they do and how you can go ahead and punch and counterpunch them. So you got to anticipate the adjustments they're going to make. You got to anticipate the adjustments you're going to make.
Caleb, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a good one. Wyoming's a physical football team. They come out and they try to stop the run. They make no bluffs about it. They're trying to stop the run, and UNLV, of course, is one of the best running teams in the nation. It'll be exciting to see those two battle in the trenches and try to be more physical. Who's going to come out on top is going to be pretty much a big factor in who's going to win it.
All right, could be some rain. We'll see about that as well. Coach, we'll see you on the plane.
Yep, go Rebels.
All right, Caleb, you too.
See you there.
All right, Rebels and Wyoming coming up to kickoff 5:02 p.m. Pacific time from War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. Coming right up on Saturday. Hope you will join us for that one. Russ Langer, Caleb Herring, head coach Tony Sanchez, and this is the Rebel IMG Sports Network.